My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last May, rocks and earth from a landslide high in the Swiss Alps tumbled down onto the Birch Glacier. The weight put so much pressure on the Alpine Glacier that just over a week later, it collapsed, sending a massive wave of ice and rock crashing into the valley below and burying the town of Blatten. Fortunately, the town had already been evacuated. But one person died, and the town is mostly gone.
It's really a devastating sight. The whole village, including the church and the houses that were sometimes over 500 years old, were all destroyed.
The causes of this disaster are complex, but Matthias Huss, a glaciologist at ETH Zurich, warns that global warming could make similar events more likely. When long frozen soil melts, it can destabilize mountain slopes and contribute to rock and landslides. Those events can then make glaciers more likely to collapse and wreak havoc on cities and towns below. Huss says the people of Blatten plan to rebuild in a safer area.
But still, it's very difficult for these people to lose all their belongings, all their life, and then restart again.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions. You're listening to a New Dimensions Archive Edition. Recorded in 2020.
We all have aspirations and intentions for our best lives. Yet these often go by the wayside as we get lost in unconscious mental and emotional reactivity, fear, and our own personal woundedness. We get caught up in self-judgment, blaming others, living on autopilot, as the saying goes. This makes for a big gap between what's possible and how we're actually living our lives. The good news is there is a healing process available to us that opens us to our inner radiance. This process is called the RAIN process, and it reminds us to pause and reconnect with a wise and compassionate presence that allows us to align our lives with our hearts. Today, we'll be exploring that process with our guest, Dr. Tara Brock. Dr. Tara Brock is an internationally known teacher of mindfulness, meditation, emotional healing, and spiritual awakening. She's a senior teacher and founder of Insight Meditation Center of Washington, D.C., and produces a weekly podcast. She's the author of many books, including True Refuge, Finding Peace and Freedom in Your Own Awakened Heart, Radical Acceptance, Embracing Your Life with the Heart of a Buddha, and Radical Compassion, Learning to Love Yourself and Your World with the Practice of RAIN. Join us for the next hour as we explore a life-changing tool to open our awareness with love and healing with our guest, Dr. Tara Brock. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Tara, welcome.
My pleasure to be with you, Justine.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here as well. I would like for our listeners to know a little bit about you. If you could kind of go back and tell a little bit of your story, how you even came to this process.
Sure. Well, I started off when I was in college as a social activist, and I had plans to go to law school, and I took a kind of very sharp turn in the path when I got introduced to yoga and meditation. And one of the things that most caught me was that in the social activism, we all kind of had clenched fists and a lot of loud voices, and yet we weren't, in a way, embodying the change that we really, really were longing for. And so I saw in meditation this possibility of really transforming consciousness in a way that could transform our world. And we need activism, but we need to be able to come into an intimacy with our inner life and each other first. And so I began on a spiritual path, and one of the first things I encountered was how at war I was with myself. I realized what I've come to term as the trance of unworthiness, which was that I kind of evaluated myself in almost every relationship, anything I did, my body, my eating, as in some way really deficient, falling short. And so I started looking for how I could have meditation help me to really trust my goodness and really be at home in my own skin and with the world. And the practice of RAIN came out of that. I found over the years that mindfulness, being able to notice what was going on in my body and my heart and my awareness without judgment, that's mindfulness, really brought me into the present moment. And then the practices of compassion, of being able to regard with kindness what I was feeling, actually were quite freeing. And so RAIN is simply a weave of mindfulness and compassion. And over these last 15 years, I've kind of refined the steps of RAIN so that probably more people write me notes about how RAIN has saved their life than any other thing I teach, because it gives a very handy, kind of easy to remember tool for being with ourselves when we're really caught in fear or shame or anger or hurt.
Which is often the case. I mean, we're going around, as I said in the introduction, that we're kind of going around in this trance easily and not aware of how reactive we are in our lives.
That's exactly right. It's interesting that Joseph Campbell has an image of awareness as this great circle with a line going through it. And he says, everything below the line is what we're not aware of. And everything above the line is what we're aware of. And the practices of mindfulness and compassion bring us above the line. They bring into the light of awareness the parts of ourselves, the loneliness and the fear and the hurts that we've been pulling away from, and bring them fully into consciousness, which is the one place where we can transform them and discover in a more true way who we are.
Well, let's go into RAIN for a little bit. So RAIN is R-A-I-N. You're using that, and that's a very easy acronym to remember. So what do the letters stand for, Tara?
Sure. The R is recognize. And so if I'm anxious, for example, the R of RAIN means just to recognize, okay, anxious right now. And the A is allow. And that means instead of trying to run away from it or fix it or judge it, we just create a pause and say, okay, I'm allowing this to be here just as it is right now. And that gives us the chance to begin to move to the I, which is investigate. And contrary to what some people think, investigating is not a cognitive or analytic process. It's not like, well, my mother always treated me in a certain way, and now I always am finding in my friendships that I'm finding the people that act like she did. It's not that. Investigate means somatically discovering in our body what's going on. And we're all, to some degree, disassociated, and you know, the issues are in our tissues. So it really, investigate is where we start bringing our attention into our body and feeling where the feelings are and so on. The N of RAIN is nurture, which means whatever we find, we start bringing a quality of care or kindness to that. And we might nurture from our own high self or awake heart, you know, nurture ourselves or our hurting part. Or we might sense a way to feel a quality of nurturing from the larger universe. And either way, nurturing's key. As one attachment psychologist described it, this is Luis Cozzolino, he said, it's not that we're the survival of the fittest, we're the survival of the nurtured. We really need nurturing. So that reconnects us. So the N of RAIN is nurturing. And then there's what I call after the RAIN, which is in quotes, which is really key, because that's when we take some moments to sense the shift that's happened from the kind of trapped, trance-like self that's anxious to a more spacious quality of compassion and presence. And as we get familiar and after the RAIN with that shift, we start recognizing that's more the truth of who we are than any of the narratives or stories of what was wrong with us.
So I want to go more deeply into that. So you're really telling RAIN, recognize, allow, investigate, nurture, and then after the RAIN, be in the presence of that awareness. And so going back, can you give us an example, like recognize, where you're really talking about, we're looking at what is happening inside me? I mean, is that what you're...
Recognize may be not a deep recognition as much as just the noticing of what's most predominant in the moment. Oh,
so
I'm
how
stuck.
Do we stop? How do we stop ourselves, like, in the moment, if we're feeling really, let's say, something... all right, good example of me. I get triggered by technology. And when it's not working and I have to make a phone call and then I get on that loop and there and the bot is asking me questions that don't really apply, and all right, I'm triggered.
So in those moments, what's the strongest emotion you're aware of?
Frustration, a combination of frustration and anger.
Okay. So that's where you start. You say, okay, I'm triggered, frustration and anger. And now RAIN takes minimally a few minutes. And if it's a very deep issue, you might want to give yourself more time. But you would say, okay, frustrated and anger. And then you'd pause and say, okay, I'm just going to let it be here right now. And sometimes what I say in that pause of allowing is, this belongs. Meaning, this is a natural wave in the ocean. You know, it's just part of the way this nervous system is right now. So I'll say, this belongs. And that immediately creates more of a real pause. There's a wonderful line from Viktor Frankl, which is, between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is your power and your freedom. So for you, you're triggered by technology and something in you goes, okay, anger and frustration. And then you say, okay, just let's let it be here for a moment. That pause will allow you to be able to respond more creatively. So then you investigate and you sense, well, where is it in my body right now? And you might feel a real clenching in your chest and you might find your heart is pounding. You might ask when you investigate, well, what am I believing right now? And maybe you're believing something like, if I can't figure this out or get through this, I'll never get something important done and I'll fail. So there's some sense of, I'm going to fail if I can't work this out.
Right. We're always working against the clock, so to speak.
I don't have enough time.
Right.
And something's really bad is going to go wrong.
Right.
And then as you investigate, you go, wow, there's also some fear in here. Because underneath that frustration and anger, there's some fear that something's really going to go wrong. You'll never get out of that loop. You'll never find your way, that kind of thing. And then you feel the fear in you and you start realizing, wow, this happens a lot. You know, I go through a lot of moments kind of caught in this clench. And often I invite people as they're investigating to put their hand on the part of their body where they're feeling things to help stay somatically connected. That's actually the beginning of nurturing. Well, as we're investigating and we start feeling into our body where we're feeling things, because as I mentioned, you can't really untangle an emotional issue unless you can feel it in your body. We pay attention to the throat, the chest, the belly. And if you feel, as you described in your example, you're feeling frustrated and angry and you feel that kind of pressure at the chest and your heart pounding. And if you place your hand gently where you feel the feelings on your heart, it helps to keep your attention there so you can begin to unpack what's going on.
I think for me, in that moment, I just want to scream out. I mean, here I'm talking to an artificial intelligence that cannot respond to me. And I think it's my throat chakra, that my throat, where I just want to just scream.
Okay, perfect. So you've recognized frustrated, angry, you have allowed it, you've said, okay, I'm going to let it be here. And then as you investigate, you're feeling your throat, you might put your hand gently on your throat and then just start breathing and staying still and just begin to investigate. And again, you might say, you know, what's the worst thing about this? What is it that's really most triggering me about this? What am I afraid is going to happen? You might sense into it, what am I believing? I often ask myself when I'm investigating, what am I believing right now? Because you might say for yourself, what are you believing when you're really triggered on that loop?
That's so good. You're really helping me because I can work with all sorts of human contacts, but when I'm with an AI contact, I'm not being heard or having the opportunity to be heard, and I can't get to a real person.
Perfect. So, and what's the worst thing about not being heard?
So then I'm invisible.
You're invisible. Okay. And what's that like when you feel invisible and not heard?
So just discarded, just dismissed, just unworthy, all sorts of, everything comes up when you're not seen and you're just sort of disappears in the woodwork.
So for right now, keeping your hand on your throat, and you might even close your eyes and breathe with it and sense that artificial intelligence isn't seeing you, isn't hearing you, that all the feelings that come up with that of unworthy, discarded, and just feel what you feel. Like, what's it really like in your body? What's the most vulnerable feeling that comes up for you when you can't get through? You're not seen. You're not heard.
Where I feel it is like in my shoulders and my fist, I want to fight.
Okay, so it brings up the want-to-fight feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you feel that surge of anger again. And if you stayed with that and you paused again, because often with rain, it'll loop. You'll sense you've recognized anger, you've allowed it, you've gotten in touch with that not-seen feeling, then the anger comes up again, so you recognize it and allow it, and you feel your shoulders right now, and you might again close your eyes and feel your shoulders and keep your hand, you know, on your body some, and sense what most wants attention about this. What really most wants attention?
Well, then I feel some tears and I feel my heart. That's where I feel it now in my body when you instructed me to close my eyes and do that.
So stay with that for a moment. Let's keep going. Once you've put your hand on your heart then and feel the tears and say, what is it? What's the worst thing about that? What really is the worst part of this?
Feeling unloved.
Unloved. So stay and let the feeling of unloved be there. And just sense what that part of you most needs right this moment. What does that part most need from you, from this world? What's your sense?
So that really takes me to that last word, nurture.
Yeah.
And I don't need it. I know from my own personal work, I don't need it from the outside.
Yeah.
But I need to nurture myself. In that moment, as I'm sitting on hold with those technology, I can just take that moment to nurture myself.
So here's the question. What is the message from your own wise heart that most would bring comfort right in these moments? What's the message you really need to hear?
That I am lovable, that I am enough, that I have time, it's all okay, right in the moment, I'm fine, there's a roof over my head.
Okay, good. So now put your, again, keep your hand on your heart and offer yourself the part of that message that most feels alive and true right here, that would most touch the vulnerable part of you. And actually feel with your touch, let it the touch be tender, that you're sending that message through your hand right into the part of you that most needs to hear it. And notice what happens.
So what I feel is being held.
Being held.
I feel really comforted that I am held, really, truly held, that I'm not alone.
So stay with that for the last few moments, Justine, that feeling of being held, and feel it through your whole body, through your energy body, your whole spirit just held. And this is what we call after the rain. Just sense the difference and the shift from the self that was feeling so unable to get through, so not heard, not seen, so angry, to the space right now that you're in touch with.
Beautiful. Really, truly, you just took me through a seemingly simple process, but it really gave me the opportunity to transform, truly. Mm-hmm. To transform that, because all day yesterday I was working with technology. My engineer knows this. I wrote them. I said, whoops, I'm going into this. And it was 8 hours later I came out of it. So I really thank you. It was really up for me, a real thing. And I feel it. I hope I will call on this when this comes up, because it's going to come up again.
It will come up again. And here's the secret. Whatever we practice gets stronger. So if you practice hitting a wall with technology and getting angry and frustrated, you'll strengthen the neural pathways of anger and frustration. If each time that you hit that wall, instead, You just recognize it by naming it. Okay, frustrated, angry. Allow, just give it a little space. Investigate by feeling again where it is in your body and just simply offering a gentle message to yourself. If you keep doing that, and this is a thing, our ways of getting stuck, we have gone through thousands and thousands and thousands of times. So it takes some rounds of rain to be able to train the mind and heart in a different way. So do it many times, but it doesn't have to be long. I have found I can do a light rain on things. It takes a minute or so, where I in some way find my way back to being kind towards myself and then resting and after the rain and sensing, okay, this is the presence that's really home for me. Many rounds, though, and that really shifts things.
Got it. Really practice it. And then it becomes like that little short practice because you've really, as Rick Hansen would say, you've installed it.
I love that language because it's true in terms of neural pathways. The more rounds, the stronger the pathways are. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to go back to allow. Because like if we're feeling a strong emotion like anger or frustration, so to allow, I'd love for you to expand on what you mean by allow, because sometimes we might say, oh, isn't that going to make me feel more angry and just kind of reinforce the anger?
It actually might, but that doesn't mean it's a problem if we're willing to stay present. So I think of allow as another way of saying yes to the moment. We're saying yes to the actuality that anger is here. And all emotions have a kind of a sign or a vector, and they go up, they rise, they peak, and they go down. Everything passes. Neuroscientists say that it takes about 1.5 minutes, unless we're thinking and perpetuating and fueling the emotion. So if instead of fueling it, you recognize anger and then allow it, then it may get stronger because you may have caught it just as it was rising, but it comes and it goes and you become more of the witness or the presence to it than caught up in the storyline.
So you're saying you're noticing it, you recognize it, you allow it, and then you do something with it that is other than feeding it.
Exactly, because the way we feed anger is we keep on running our negative blaming stories. So if instead of running the stories that are fueling it, we actually open to it as a bodily set of sensations, it'll come and go. Now, sometimes the anger needs more investigation. And that's if it doesn't just come and go, but it's really got a tangle to it. For instance, with yours, it really went right into some older issues around not being seen and heard. Then it requires the investigating, where we might ask a question like, what am I believing? And we might keep on feeling into our body until the deeper, more vulnerable parts of ourselves can unfold. Typically, under anger, there's either hurt or fear. So if we can give it time and investigate, we get more to the roots, and that's the only way that we can heal.
But you're not talking about just cognitively figuring it out psychologically. You're talking, you said earlier, the issues live in our tissues. So that's a very different sort of way of approaching it. You're approaching it on a whole physiological level. Is that right?
Exactly right. And I'm glad you repeated that one, because while there are some of the inquiry we use in investigation involves cognition, we want to keep coming back over and over to where the emotion lives in the body. So I might ask a question like, what am I believing right now? And I might realize, oh, I'm believing that right now I actually am falling short and I'm not speaking clearly and people aren't going to get what I'm saying. And so I might feel that.
We'll talk more about that, feeling that belief in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Tara Brock. And she is the author of Radical Compassion, Learning to Love Yourself and Your World,